Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. All come to look for America.
Welcome back to the Up North Podcast and this amazing song about America. And if you guys could have seen Representative Pocan's background when he first joined us, it was all about America. So here's our intro. Last week we started we saw that the last January 6th hearing in this first round of hearings starting in June was all about how Trump delayed taking any action to stop the violence occurring at the Capitol for so many hours. He sat there in his personal dining room watching it on Fox News and calling senators to try to get them to change their votes. And it was so painfully difficult for Trump to tell the rioters to go home, which alluded to the obvious truth that he was hoping the violence would have led to a presidential coup that would have kept him in power. So watching those hearings has brought me, many of us, much closer to what happened on that day and has shown us the real danger to those like Representative Pocan who were there at the Capitol. So we're so very lucky to have Representative Mark Pocan with us tonight to give us his thoughts about what these hearings have revealed for Wisconsinites and his own reactions and emotions having to relive the events of that day during these hearings. Congressman Pocan, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, very glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, first question, before we go into your reactions to these hearings, can you remind us where you were on January 6th and what was going on in your mind at the time?
Sure. So I was in my office in the Longworth Building, seventh floor, the top floor. Wisconsin was one of the seven states they expected to have Republicans try to overturn our election. So for days, Gwen Moore, Ron Kind, and I were going to be leading that hour of debate when it came to Wisconsin. We'd been preparing for it. I was all set to quote a bunch of Republicans from Wisconsin about how the elections were fair. I was going to ask if I could speak from the Republican side of the floor since I was quoting Republicans, getting all ready for it. And when everything happened, I was in the office. We were under lockdown at that point. But, you know, our information came in from CNN and MSNBC on our TVs. We didn't really get that much internal information. And, you know, one thing, and I wish I would have taken more video of it at the time. I just didn't think of it. But I'm on the roof. I walked on the roof to the very front of the building looking at the Capitol with thousands of people on each side of the Capitol, and I've never seen that perspective shown anywhere. And I just snapped a couple photos, but you know, it was something to see how many people were there, likely including one of the congressional candidates from Wisconsin on the Republican side. But I was in the office and kind of taking it in from that perspective.
So we're definitely going to get to Derek Van Orden being on the other side with one of the people that were potentially attacking you and running for Congress in Wisconsin. But before we get there, I wanted to kind of still set the stage. I mean, we just watched, I think, seven hearings or so. I might be off by a couple, but it's taken our whole summer. Every single hearing, we get something new out of it, and it's more damning to everyone involved, to Trump and all, you know, all the people that were helping him. My overall question is, you know, your colleagues on the January 6th committee, do you think, I mean, what is their ultimate goal? I mean, a part of me thinks they need to lay out the case for the Department of Justice, but obviously the bigger goal is laying out, you know, the facts for the United States citizens and voters. Do you think they've achieved that goal? What other goals are, and how well have they done so far in getting us the facts?
Yeah. I mean, I really think their goal was for the historical record to put everything out there. And if there were illegal actions, the Department of Justice hopefully will act on those. I'm cautiously, I don't know if I can say optimistic with that, because I think, you know, the Department of Justice is run by someone who's very judicious, but I'm not sure if they'll be maybe as swift in dealing with some of the information that's come out of the committee. But, you know, clearly there's been a lot of damning information coming out on Donald Trump and what's happened. And, I think we're seeing it in some polling now, right? I think in Michigan, Ron DeSantis was within 2 points of Donald Trump, and even in the Republican Party. You know, it is a cult right now, right? It's not a political party. Donald Trump is still the cult leader and there still are cult followers. But I think this is making some people have to remember and see everything and hear everything again, that maybe their memory has changed thanks to Fox News and other conservative media organizations. But I really hope that this is enough to make the Department of Justice look seriously at action.
Why do you think, given all of this information, they're proceeding so cautiously? I mean, we just saw in the New York Times today, yesterday maybe, that they're starting to dig a little bit deeper, but still no signs of anything substantial. Why the wait?
I think any prosecutorial body, it wants to make sure that they're going to be able to win, right? That's, they're getting enough evidence to make sure that if they bring it to actual to trial, that they're going to be able to have a win and convict someone. So I understand some of that. I just hope that they're looking at the totality of what's out there. I mean, clearly some people around Donald Trump, Mark Meadows, for example, should be a slam dunk, right, in doing some actions. But, I don't expect it to be fast. That's one thing that, you know, if you're expecting something by November, I think you should have other expectations, because I just don't think they're working on that kind of a timeline. This isn't about November's election. This is about history. Right. What's going to be any future president, Democrat or Republican, who might be as extreme as Donald Trump? We can't let this happen again. So, you know, I'm OK with things not happening fast. I just hope that they are very thorough in dealing with it. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I was going to ask another question, but this begs me to, we hope this is not going to happen, but if the majority changes in either the House or the Senate, and the Republicans actually have a majority in either House or potentially both houses, I don't think it's going to happen, by the way, after Roe got overturned, honestly. But if they do, is there any way that they can actually, you know, mess with the Department of Justice in the last 2 years, which will then become a lame duck session probably for President Biden? I mean, can they alter the course of things if they have a majority in either House?
Yeah, so, you know, they'll try, absolutely. They'll try to make them just lose a lot of time that they could be putting into something like this, and they should, absolutely. But, you know, just like in Wisconsin, you know, thankfully we have Tony Evers and Josh Call statewide when you have this gerrymandered Republican legislature who hired Mike Gabelman and all the other craziness that you see coming out of the legislature. You know, they really, there's ways they can try to slow down Josh Call's job, but he can still do a lot of things. And obviously the governor still ultimately has the veto like the president would on legislation. So, you know, there's no question you would hear Hunter Thompson and laptops and every other folklore history in the world during that 2 years if they were in charge. But I'm hopeful that Department of Justice could still act.
So, speaking of Attorney General Call, who is amazing, do you think that he or the Wisconsin Elections Commission or the Dane County District Attorney, anyone, could bring cases against Ron Johnson for trying to pass Wisconsin and Michigan's fraudulent electors to Mike Pence? I mean, that was a real revelation to many of us, and we know how flawed Ron Johnson is. Wouldn't it be great?
I think that, to me, the best case out there is the fake electors, people who knew and tried to falsify that they were the electors from Wisconsin, that potentially there could be some legal action there. I mean, honestly, Ron Johnson, usually it's things that are stupid more than outright illegal. And, you know, I think, again, Ron, you know, like he often does, you know, chews on a shoe or two when he's talking about things. And in this case, I think, you know, said, you know, try to blame it on another member of Congress who said it wasn't them, try to blame it on his staff. And then we find out, you know, through some texts that he clearly was involved. But, you know, knowing Ron, he didn't even know how bumbling he was at the time. And whether or not there's a legal action there, I'm not sure, because nothing wound up happening. But, you know, certainly it shows us why when Ron Johnson says something, you shouldn't trust him.
Like I'm on the phone. What? I'm on the phone. That's one of my favorite video clips of all time.
So So you refer, Congressman Pocan, you alluded to this nonprofit group named Law Forward, who we've had many of their lawyers on our show to talk about everything from gerrymandering to the WEC, the fraudulent electors. They are bringing a civil suit against the fraudulent electors of Wisconsin. They're trying to make it so painful to them because they might have to pay up to millions of dollars for doing something illegal, but it's a civil suit that they think they can win. That hopefully nobody else even tries this again, because you might, you know, lose millions. That's what you're referring to. Mm-hmm. Obviously, my super PAC led a charge that failed against Fitzgerald, Tom Tiffany, and Ron Johnson. Scott Fitzgerald opened the door to let these fraudulent electors meet. Tom Tiffany was the only Wisconsin congressman to vote to sign on to Texas's lawsuit to overturn the Wisconsin votes. The only one. And there's a lot of crazy Republican congressmen in Wisconsin. He was the only one. To us, in that lawsuit, those two actions, along with passing the fraudulent electors and just being a mouthpiece for the big lie, it was enough. Do you think that in a perfect world that would be enough to potentially make them not be able to run again because they were part of this conspiracy?
The way the Republicans work, and money is usually not their problem. They can hire lawyers up and try to lawyer up in order to protect those folks. But you still have to go through that, right? I mean, I don't think they ever probably thought that they were going to have to lawyer up after what they did that day. I think they thought they were either going to get away with it, or they didn't think through it probably as thoroughly. But it was an illegal action nonetheless. I mean, it should have been something that whoever organized this certainly ran by them. But I hope that it does send a message, because we have to get back to politics in normal way that we don't have right now. You can differ with people, and I differed with many Republicans over my years in the legislature, but I still got things done at the end of the day. This new group of Republicans, that's why I call it more of a cult than a political party. When Marjorie Taylor Greene is actually calling many of the shots in the House of Representatives, for example, that's a real problem, because that's not a political party. That's an extremist organization at that point.
And we so appreciate the work that you've done across the aisle, because that's exactly what we need to see. And when we talk about people, especially up here in northern Wisconsin, they're so tired of this divisiveness. But what we see is people like Derek Van Orden, who is clearly part of this cult. He was there at the Capitol that day. He's running for Congress. He could be a congressman from Wisconsin. So there you were on the roof of Longfellow watching all of these people, and he was down there. How? Tell us how. Where is this in your mind?
I'll tell you, I'm going to spend a lot of time in Western Wisconsin after the August 9th primary, because one, in order to keep the majority, we have to hold the 3rd congressional district in Democratic hands. Mm-hmm. But two, as you mentioned, Tom Tiffany already kind of has poisoned the state delegation a bit, because he will vote in the most extremist Trumpian way and then make others have to follow or get beat up by the Republican base in the state. So already things are different than they were previously when I've been in Congress, which is a shame, because there was a better relationship as a medium-sized state. You got to kind of work together a little bit to get things done, and it's changed. But Tom Tiffany will look like a raging moderate if Derek Van Orden is elected. Not only did he use campaign funds to attend the insurrection, and there's audio of him being on the wall with the boys. Not sure if that just means boys like men or if that means Proud Boys, but he won't denounce the Proud Boys, which is troubling. Mm-hmm. But then, he got in a fight at Prairie du Chien Library with a 17-year-old intern over an LGBTQ book display, checked out all the books but one because someone was reading it with the intent clearly not to return them. He tried to carry a loaded gun onto a plane in Iowa, and he's on probation for that since the last election. He called the 10-year-old girl who was raped in Ohio a liar, and then his only response back when he found out it was true is said, "I stand corrected." Like, where's the apology to the 10-year-old you just maligned? I mean, this is a guy, he exposes genitals when he brags about it in a book when he was in the military. I mean, there's so much more you're going to continue to hear about this guy, but this guy is extreme by any standard in Wisconsin politics. And I don't want to serve with someone who, thought they could overthrow the government. I mean, if that's their approach, they shouldn't be in elected office. You know, there are many good candidates in the 3rd Congressional District. Whoever comes out of that primary, I'm going to be enthusiastically helping to do whatever we can to get them elected. But, you know, Derek Van Dorn is truly extreme by any national standard.
Yeah. And thank you so much for you know, you're going outside of your district, you're going into the 3rd district. Obviously, you know, you're in Madison, and you know, I don't even know if anybody's running against you, but they've been gerrymandered so much that you're not really at risk. So it makes perfect sense. But it is still wonderful that you're going to go and campaign for decency. Basically, it's not campaigning against Van Orn, it's campaigning for democracy and decency in Wisconsin. And there's a ton of Republican voters in the 3rd district who are very decent people who will be fed complete garbage the garbage that is not true to vote for Van Orden, when this guy really is as close to a domestic terrorist that running for office that we've seen in a long time.
Absolutely. And I would say he's not Wisconsinite, but he spent so little in time in Wisconsin, I don't know if I could even put that term in front of him.
Awful. Hey, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I just want to put in a little plug for the Defense of Marriage Act, which is yours, and it's amazing and necessary. So Congressman Mark Pocan, thank you.
Thank you all. Take care.
Bye.